The 24th day of Bashan's, the commemoration of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to the land of Egypt. Today marks the great feast day commemorating when the Lord Jesus Christ came to Egypt as a 2-year-old child. The Bible tells us in the Gospel of Matthew how the wicked Jewish king Herod was angered and afraid at hearing from the wise men that a king of the Jews had been born, and ordered the slaughter of all male children under the age of 2. God sent an angel to Joseph in a dream telling him, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." Joseph immediately took Saint Mary and the baby Jesus and set out for Egypt. Not only did this protect the Holy Family from any physical harm from Herod's murderous soldiers, it also allowed the young Jesus a chance to live a normal human manner until God was ready to reveal the divine nature of Christ as he started his ministry. It also fulfilled the prophecy of Hosea, which says, "Out of Egypt I called my son." In addition, it fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, "Behold, the Lord rides on a swift cloud and will come into Egypt. The idols of Egypt will totter at his presence, and the heart of Egypt will melt in its mists." While the Bible does not go into detail about the Holy Family's time in Egypt, we know a fairly good amount about their journey from the places they visited that became well known for miracles occurring afterwards, and later churches and monasteries being built at such locations. Also, Pope Theophilus, the 23rd Patriarch of Alexandria, prayed that God would reveal to him more about the Holy Family's journey in Egypt, and the Lord revealed to the Pope, in a vision, the details. It is a Coptic tradition that the Holy Family was accompanied on their journey by a woman named Salome, a friend who was possibly a relative of Saint Mary. They entered Egypt near a small village called Al-Arish and went through the city of Pelusium. They traveled through the delta, which is in the northern area, including an area called Pico Isos in the Coptic language, which means the heel of Jesus, as there is a stone on which young Jesus placed his foot, and the small footprint of a child can still be seen. From there they went westward to the valley of Wadi el-Natroon. Saint Mary knew that someday there would be many monasteries there, and she blessed the area that would become known worldwide for its holiness. In the area we know today as Cairo, the Holy Family sailed in a small boat up the Nile River, stopping at many places, and came to Mount Koskem, where the great monastery of St. Mary el-Muharrak was later built. When Herod finally died, the Lord sent an angel to Joseph in a dream to tell him, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead," which is Matthew chapter 2, verse 20 to 21. The Holy Family went back to the area of Cairo and stayed in a cave, over which is now located the Church of Abu Serga in Old Cairo. Heading eastward, they stopped for a short while at El Matariya, where they rested under a balsam tree and drank from the nearby well. Continuing, they made their way back into Israel. The entry of the Lord into Egypt was a fulfillment of biblical prophecy, as well as a great blessing to the land and people of Egypt, but it was also a lesson for all the world, for all time. For Egypt was already an ancient civilization 2,000 years ago, and had many pagan gods represented in statues carved of stone. When Egypt was mentioned in the Old Testament, it was connected to their non-belief in the one true God and they're defying God's will. Perhaps God used Egypt as a safe haven for the Christ child to show the world that the Lord can forgive those who have sinned against him as long as they come to believe in him. Perhaps it was not just the physical stone statues that shattered in the presence of the Lord, but more so the idea the statues represented. For within a few decades of the arrival of the Lord in Egypt, Christianity would be spreading across the land of the Nile River, and its people would become strong and courageous in their belief and commitment to Christ, even unto this day. And glory be to God's holy name forever and ever. Amen. The passing of the prophet Habakkuk. On this day, the church commemorates the passing of the prophet Habakkuk, who was one of the 12 minor prophets of the Old Testament. He lived about 700 years before the birth of Christ and was from the tribe of Levi. He was a singer and a musician who played a string instrument such as a harp. Habakkuk prophesied during the time of King Jehoiakim, and according to some church scholars, was able to flee to Egypt during the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians and the captivity of the Jews. At any rate, Habakkuk lived long enough to see the return of the people of Israel from their exile in Babylon. The book of Habakkuk is rather short, only 3 chapters, which is why he is called a minor prophet. But the book is not only emotionally charged with the pleadings of Habakkuk to God about why evil and unfairness in the world seem to win over the righteous, but with the strength of a wise and eternal God who answers not only for the near future, but for all of the future, to our own time and beyond. It is like a dialogue between a questioning child and a parent, a student and a teacher, a prophet who asks questions of God and to whom God gives reply. The first 2 chapters concern Habakkuk questioning God. Why does evil seem to triumph over good? And God replies that he will surprise the world by sending more evil, meaning the Babylonians, to wipe out the other evil, and then carefully instructs Habakkuk to clearly write these words on stone tablets so that all may read it. And although it may not seem true, that its time was coming. And this is the message: those who are evil will not survive, but those who are righteous will live because they are faithful to God. The 3rd chapter of Habakkuk is written in the form of a psalm, a prayer-like song of faith in God. The prophet has received the word of God that his faithful will triumph, and he praises God for his power over all. May the prayer of this prophet be for us, and glory be to God forever and ever. Amen. The martyrdom of the monk Saint Bashaunus El Makari. It was on this day in the year 1164 AD that Saint Bashaunus was martyred. He was a monk at the monastery of Saint Macarius Abu Makar during the 12th century, a time of civil war and feuding between the Arab factions, each of whom tried to extend their powers. During these turbulent times, Saint Bashaunus was arrested. The officials tried to make him renounce his Christian faith, but the strong and courageous monk refused, putting his faith in the eternal God. The officials had Saint Bashaunus cruelly executed, whereupon the faithful monk received the crown of martyrdom. Some Christians took his remains and buried him in the church of Abu Serga in Old Cairo. May his prayers be with us, and glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.